And the reason that we are in this environment of praise is so that we get our full attention on the one who literally makes this possible. This is not our own strength. I cannot pray for you and the person next to you cannot pray for you and something happen in their strength, because that's just impossible. But it becomes possible when our full attention is on Jesus, who reconciled all things, who made peace with all things, heaven and earth. Yes, sickness is one of them. He saw sickness and he said, you no longer have to plague my people. It was defeated at the cross. And as we've come into full alignments and full agreements with heaven, you see, one of the things that Mary understood when the kingdom was being birthed, when Christ was literally, when the Holy Spirit was overshadowing her, she had to come into alignment with God. Because when God says, I want to do this over your life, her first response was, I'm really troubled by how you see me. You mean, am I worthy to receive this that you're talking about? And it's the first level of alignment we have to come into. You are worthy to be healed. You are worthy to receive breakthrough. You are worthy. Why? Because your worth is hidden in Christ. So the Bible says, you died and your life is now hidden in Christ. That's where we get worth from. That's where we get value. You're worthy to be loved. You're worthy to belong to a family like this. You're worthy to ask. You know, most of us don't have because we don't ask, because we don't think we're worthy enough. Like, oh God, there's so many other people that need healing. Let me just stay silent. No, no, friends, the cross gives us permission to stand the grace of God with all confidence before this throne of grace and say, God, just as much as you did it then, you're doing it today. Do it again in my life. Do it again in my life. And I'm standing on the finished work of Jesus until I see it manifest here on earth. It's the first level of alignment. The second one, this is, you can read this in Luke. I think it's chapter 2 or somewhere around there. How is this possible? You know, sometimes we want to reason spiritual realities through a carnal mind. And the Bible says repent. Repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. What does that mean? It means change the way you think. Don't reason according to carnal thinking. How is this possible? How is this going to manifest? What's going to happen? Looking at all the strategies and looking at all the... You know, sometimes I'm a very strategic person, but strategy can trip you up if it's rooted in your own strength. It has to be rooted in what God has said, because it's the word of God that carries power to change environments. That was the difference of what I preached last time with Luke, with Simon Peter on the boat. He had gone out all night and tried in his own strength with his own strategies to bring in a harvest of fish to feed his family and to have a livelihood. But Jesus got on his boat and Jesus spoke a word. And what did he do? He responded to the word. And in that space, God's word has within it the full provision that we need for us to be able to respond. He said, yes, let it be according to your word. And he threw his net. And guess what happened? He pulled in the biggest catch he has ever caught, that broke the nets, that broke the boat, that caught the partners, and they were sinking. Everyone was sinking under the abundance of God's full provision, because they chose to believe a word as opposed to their own carnal mind thinking, how is this possible? You see, the second level of alignments is that we've got to say, let me repent. For believing according to my own understanding, let me see and believe according to your word, Father. And there's something that God is releasing through this word. Testimonies are a word. They're a spoken word. This is evidence that I've just read so many times over us lately, that everything has been won at that victory moment at the cross. That the full resurrection power of Jesus is alive in us. The Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that dwells in you, friends. If you believe you can't raise someone from the dead, then you believe you don't have the Spirit. Simple as that. You see, our carnal minds have to change. We've got to repent and come into a higher perspective about ourselves, about God, about the world around us, and this finished work of Jesus. Second level of alignments. How is this possible? Becomes, God, let it be according to your word. And the third one is this, is that we have to position ourselves for the overshadowing of God. What I mean by that, there's a moment that God summons us into his now moment. It's called his kairos moment. It's almost when everything is aligned. The planets are aligned. No, it's not that. It's literally our hearts have come into full agreement with what God's word said. Something in that moment has to has to cause us to stop and not let go until the overshadowing of God produces what that word promises us. You see, we miss kairos moments because I think we don't wait long enough. Simple as that. I don't think at any point God is not able to. But a kairos moment comes when literally we have chosen to lay our self-sufficiency down. We've chosen to lay our unworthiness down, our wrong view of ourselves, our wrong false identities down. I'm troubled by this statement of being favored and all those kind of things that Mary was troubled by. When I lay those things down and I come into that kairos moment, the only thing you have to do is wait. It's what they did. It's the same moments in the upper room. I don't know why I'm preaching this. It's not where I was going this morning. It's the same moments. You see, because we've bought into a lie as the church. You know, everyone looks at the early church and wants to try and be the early church. Am I right? We want that moment. We want that, literally, this foundation shaking. I want it. But I think what's happened is we've drifted away from these kairos moments because somehow we've bought into illusion that it's our own efforts that make them happen. Overshadowing has got nothing to do with your own effort. It's got nothing to do with your ability. It's got nothing to do with your great program. It's got nothing to do with how well this place looks or how well their team sounds or how great I preach. It's got nothing to do with that. And I think the early church lived in the kairos moments because they knew that it was the Holy Spirit overshadowing them that would give them the power they need to do the work that God had called them to. And if you are sitting here right now saying, God, I need a breakthrough in my life, that's a great prayer to pray. But if breakthrough is your goal, I'm telling you, friends, you've missed the mark. Because God has already given you breakthrough. But every single thing that we want to do right here is because we understand that when He overshadows us, the kingdom is manifest and every part of the kingdom is made known to mankind. There is fullness of healing. There was fullness of life. There is joy released in that moment. There is a heaviness that breaks off. Everything happens in that space. And that's the place that God is setting us up for. That's why we've been lingering in this place. That's why we've been waiting. Friends, it's time we began to wait a bit longer. It's time we began to steady our hearts. The biggest plague of the modern day church is busyness because it denies us of kairos moments where we wait. How long did they wait in an upper room? They waited day after day after day after day. Do you think they had families? Of course they did. They didn't get in the way of this moment. Do you think they had jobs? Of course they did. Didn't get in the way of this moment. Friends, if anything is getting in the way of the moments that God is summoning us to be overshadowed by God, by the Spirit of God, we have to dethrone those things. I'm waiting for the moments where God just summons us and we sit in this moment and say, God, like there, we are not moving until we receive the fullness of your promise, like they did back then. You see, the early church understood that. They lived in that. They lived in the full assurance of the finished work of the cross and the power of the Holy Spirit to reveal that to us. And what's happened ever since then, you'll see in the Galatian church, the Colossian church, even the Ephesian church, is that drifting from that place, and I'll preach about this next week, come back. We drifted away from full assurance of Jesus. And what we do, we added our own works to it. You remember you got saved? It was all about, I know I can't do this on my own strength. I yield to God. That's what getting saved is all about. I submit myself to Him. I die as Christ died in my old nature and my insufficiencies, and I'm raised to life sufficient, all sufficient because of Him. And we hear, yes, I believe that. And we start walking in that and things begin to change. And then somewhere along the line, good Christian theology comes in. And we start adding a whole lot of systems to our lives and rules and regulations and things that we have to do in order to sustain this. Friends, I'm not against discipline. I'm not against self-control. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. But we cannot add anything to the gospel. If we do, we're in danger of becoming our own savior. And God wants us in this kairos moment across the earth to position ourselves in the finished work of Jesus and stand empowered by the Holy Spirit because of grace, not because of my self-righteousness. And that moment that Mary said, and she made this declaration just like he did, and we're gonna pick up this moment. It hasn't been lost, don't worry. All of heaven is waiting. It's like, man, stop talking. But it says this, she made this declaration, for with God, nothing is impossible. How do you know that you have been aligned to heaven and you're living in a kairos moment? You literally look at impossible things and go, ha, 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 that's possible. If you're not there yet, don't worry. His grace is sufficient for you. The Spirit of God has been released to renew and regenerate you from the inside out so that you begin to see like Jesus sees. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. More time spent. Smith Wigglesworth said this. He said, the only key to my sustained increase of the kingdom of God, my life is this. I pray in the Spirit on all occasions without ceasing. That's all he did. He literally at every moment, why? Because I am cultivating the awareness of God above myself. And that is what God has called us to in the overshadowing. And as Holy Spirit came, the kingdom was birthed. Mary declared, nothing's impossible, let it be according to your word. And from that moment on, the kingdom, Jesus, came to earth, heaven. A touchdown. You and I are the touchdown point of the kingdom of heaven on earth. And God's called us to start manifesting it. So, we're going to do that this morning because we're in a kairos moment. I believe, and as I was praying, everywhere I looked, there's some impossible miracles that God wants to do this morning. 25 years, this man had stood, and we're going to ask the team to carry on just an environment of worship. We're going to start praising again. And what we're going to do is this, is as we begin to praise, we are going to yield every part of ourselves to God. Every part of our limitations, every part of our diseases or sicknesses, every area of insufficiency in my own nature, we're going to yield. And I'm going to trust right now that as He overshadows Holy Spirit in this moment, and it's not about feeling either. We don't have to create something, we bear something. Two different things. Creating means we are responsible for originating it. Bearing means it's already been originated in us through Christ. We just got to manifest it. We've got to bear it. And so what we're going to do is we are going to literally trust as we begin to praise that sickness is going to disappear. And I know there's lots of sick people. My whole household is sick. And this front row is all sick. I had call upon call a message this morning. Everyone who was supposed to lead a prayer, lead this meeting, I was due to preach, but is not available because we're sick. I'm trusting that everything that I've spoken today means something to you. But this is the main thing. We're going to stand and wait upon God. I'm not preaching anymore. We've got time. We're going to wait upon God. And I want you to be led by the Spirit this morning. I trust you to be led by the Spirit. I believe in the Spirit of God inside of you. That as you begin to sense the overshadowing of God, and some of you can feel it right now, I can see it all over you. You are going to allow God space to literally set you free from stuff.